Today does happen to be both a weekly Sabbath and the first day of unleavened bread. Now, as members of God's body, do we appreciate what each of those things mean? And do we understand the relationship to each other? I want to go back in time a bit, and I want to turn in our Bibles to day 4 of the Genesis creation accounts. So let's go to Genesis 1 and verse 14. Genesis 1 and verse 14. Then God said, "Let there be lights, plural, in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night." Now, this is like the first verses of Genesis where God's Spirit does hover over the waters of the deep, right? And he says, "Let there be light," like he does here. Then he sees the light that is good and is separate. He separates it from darkness and he makes a distinction between day and night. Over here, he does something similar. These heavenly lights that appear, that are made visible from earth for the first time on day 4, they also are to separate things out. What are they to separate things out? Verse 14. It says, "And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." So now most of the world, they create their calendars and they create their days and years calendars, right? And they calculate doing what? By observing these lights in the sky, by observing the sun, the moon, and the stars. All the world does this. Now certain days and years, they mark important harvest times and therefore also religious observances sometimes. And this is also true for Israelites, God's called out people. But the Israelites are also exclusively given signs and seasons, and we'll see that. The Hebrew word for season here is moed. The plural form is moedim. The Strong's number for this is 4150, remember that. The Strong's concordance number is 4150. It means mostly an appointed time, a time of meeting, a time of assembly. The connotations are for a festival. So we begin to see even this early on in Scripture, even here, that God created heavenly bodies to separate light from darkness, but in more ways than one. In more ways than one. Because they also serve as signs and appointed times that separate God's people, people of light that can see the signs and know the time, from people who are still in darkness. Okay? That's how it separates. And those two things, signs and appointed times, we will see are one of the reasons why we're here today. That's the name of the sermonette. Why are we here? Signs and seasons is one reason. Let's turn to Exodus 31 and verse 16. Exodus 31 and verse 16. For an example of this distinction. Exodus 31 and verse 16. "Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant." This is a special covenant here. "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever." This is a distinguishing mark that was never to change. "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." And God gives us this sign to mark, to separate us believers who remember him as our creator. The rest of the world, they either worship idols or they have faith in creation popping out of nowhere and then evolving into who knows what. Or they don't take God at his word. The seventh day, perpetual, they don't take God at his word. In verse 18 it says, "And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God." So before he even gave the 10 commandments, he's making this covenant about a special sign, right? The Sabbath. Before he even gives him the 10 commandments, which by the way also include the 4th commandment, the Sabbath day. And so that's written into stone for ancient Israel. And people might say, yeah, but that's for ancient Israel and that's in stone. So what do we have written into our hearts if it's not his law? And they will point to Jeremiah the prophet talking about a future state, right? Let's go to Jeremiah 31 and verse 33. Jeremiah 31 and verse 33. Because Jesus does something, he comes and he does something truly amazing, and Jesus Christ does it right on time, at an appointed time. During the first seven of the Moedim, during the first three seasons, his self-sacrifice as our Passover lamb and then subsequent resurrection, effectively becoming our life-sustaining bread, right, of life from heaven, it starts to begin the process of engraving these Ten Commandments, including the fourth, into the heart of the Israel of God. Let's see that. Jeremiah 31, 33. But this is the covenant. He's speaking of a new covenant here. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Remember, I keep emphasizing Israel for a reason. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my what? My law into their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. Has that happened yet? Does the world know and nobody has to ask their neighbor who God is? That hasn't happened yet, right? This is talking about a new covenant. A covenant that we have started and belong to as first fruits. This is new covenant. And he says what? Here. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. How is that even possible without Passover, one of those signs and seasons, right? How is that even possible? It can't. It isn't. So, the prophecy for the New Testament future and beyond, even later fruits, because we know he speaks here, when every man knows God, that's tabernacles. That's even after tabernacles. This is a future state. This is a future covenant. So, God's talking about appointed times, forgiving their sins, Passover, right? And yet, he's talking about new covenant. He's just, the only difference is, now that instead of with the finger of God writing it into stone, that spiritual finger is now carving it into your heart. Right? And notice what he says in verse 35. There's no coincidences here. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. For the Lord of hosts is his name. Is that a coincidence? That he brings up the moon, the stars, the sun, right? Those things that he put up there for signs and seasons. And he's talking about the new covenant. That's not a coincidence. You have eyes to see and ears to hear. This is for us, the people who can see the signs and walk towards God because of it. And that's another reason why we're here. The same spirit of the Creator. It says here, he talks about the moon, stars, and the sun, and the sea is roaring, right? So when God brought those seas, the waves of those seas went up, and those Israelites, they walked out of bondage into freedom. When we're baptized, does the same thing happen to us? It does, right? We walk out of bondage into freedom. It's not only the old covenant, it's the new covenant here, and his laws are there, and his days are preserved, right? Passover is preserved for us too. That's why we're here, because we know the balance and we know the relationship between the old and the new. We're something new. Was something new here, and it's a miracle, and it's beautiful. He brings us out of captivity. He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. He circumcises, he cuts our heart, not our flesh. By the blood of Christ, death now passes over us. And we're recreated in the image of God the Son and God the Father. And notice that the laws are perpetual, still there in this new covenant, but in the heart. Now, he said this covenant was with the house of Israel. That's what we read in Jeremiah 30. So how could it be the new covenant, the house of Israel? Are we Israel? Are we in that house? For those of us who come on a regular basis on the Sabbath day and keep this sign, Ephesians 2, we've been a lot in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 11. Let's go there. Ephesians 2 and verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, versus us, spiritually cut in the heart, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens, strangers, in other words, aliens from the commonwealth that is Israel, You were strangers from Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's Passover. You've been brought near by the blood of Christ, by one of those Moedim. Now jump to verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. When he says house of Israel, brothers and sisters, we are the house of Israel. We're the New Testament house of Israel. We are the household members of God's family. We are no longer strangers of what is referenced as Israel in the Bible. So when you read Israel in the Bible, read yourself into that and pay it close attention. And that's another reason why we're here. But let's read on. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, yes, even Jeremiah that we read, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We as individual people are being made whole, right? And being a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. And then when we fit together, we make a big temple. And that temple is supposed to grow. And that temple is going to grow. Right now it's a mustard seed. Right now it's a mustard seed. How many people do we have here today? What percent of the population of New York? 8 million people are here today. It's less than 0.0 whatever percent it is. But God, with something the size of a mustard seed, promises to transform this whole planet. And we're here because we believe that. Otherwise, why are we here? Right? The question of the sermonette is, why are we here? Do we believe what it says here? That we're going to be a dwelling place of God and the Spirit. Right now, we're being built into that temple. That temple, guaranteed, Christ says, will transform this world. We'll set it on fire and we'll renew it. If we claim to be the chosen, this little flock, that we share God's house together, then we can't be strangers to each other. We cannot be strangers to each other. Let's go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. Holy days can't be complete without reading from Leviticus 23, right? We read this often. How often do we read this? But now let's read it again. Because the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of who? Of Israel. Are we Israel? Set apart? Do we know how to read signs? He says, what does it say? And it says to them, the feasts. And guess what word that is? That's Strong's 4150. That's the same one for seasons in Genesis. Same one. The feast is translated feast here. Same word. Appointed time of assembly of the Lord. Mr. Morris says time after time, these are not of the Jews, right? Because this is of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts. Now notice something, the list of appointed times, if the seasons will come, but what does he start with first? The sign. The sign. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. People say, Jeff, why do you keep Sabbath instead of Sunday? He's the Lord of the Sabbath. And I'm like, of the what? Of the Sabbath. Of the what? Right. Of the Sabbath. He's the Lord that always has been. Sabbath of the Lord. Sabbath of the Lord. Always has been. We have a lot of familiarity with this one, right? This is a sign. But what about the seasons? If we come here on a weekly basis, we should be coming on a weekly basis, and we should be coming on his holy days, because we know how to read the signs. And God says to proclaim God's holy convocations, and he begins with the weekly Sabbath, where the children of Israel were members of his house, and we're the members of his house at the most pivotal time in history. They call this the space age. They have rockets that go up and they land themselves. You see that pretty landing of SpaceX by itself? Came right back down. They call it the information age, where everybody has a computer in their pocket. Right? You have the whole of the entire planet, all the record of the entire planet in your pocket. The nuclear age, they call it. Iran about, you know, with nuclear weapons and the scare with North Korea, the nuclear age. Brethren, we have to know it as the age that it is, and it is the end of the age. It is the end of the age, and we need to wake up to it. We need to take our faith seriously, and that's one of the reasons that we're here today also. That's another reason why we're here today. God calls it a holy convocation. If he has marked your mind and your heart and he sets it on fire, he says, don't make that lukewarm. Right? Keep it on fire. And when people are courageous enough to come into the Sabbath and they get off the fence and they say, I'm going to follow that sign, we should be here welcoming them, right? Because it's not good for man to be alone. He doesn't want us to be alone. He wants to fit us together into a holy temple and change this planet. But we can't see. The world doesn't know how to act together. We have to learn how to act together. Otherwise, how can we dare say that we will teach people in the world tomorrow? We have to be here and learn how to act together. We need to appreciate who we are, when we live, and why we are alive here, and why we are here today. I'm not picking on any individuals. I'm just praying that anyone here, or watching, or maybe later on in a video, get off that fence, come in from their amazing call, follow that beautiful sign, right? That beautiful sign that opens up more truth. Continuing in Leviticus 23, but now in verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times, the Moed, the Moedim. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover, which we just proclaimed, that was proclaimed in Jeremiah, right? We proclaimed that. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. That's today, right? Today. 7 days, you must eat unleavened bread. You must eat. Why must we eat this bread? Because Jesus Christ is that bread. And we must eat. When it says seven, that's complete. That means from now until you are put to rest. Until you rest. Until that seventh day comes for you. And you are put to rest. Until that Sabbath rest kingdom comes, you must eat of the unleavened nature of Jesus Christ. That is why it's 7 days here. That is why. On the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. Here's another complete 7 days of your life until the end. We must offer fire. What is this fire? It's not lukewarm, it's fire. Hebrews 13 verse 11. Hebrews 13 and verse 11. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. That's Passover. Jesus Christ suffered and he burned, in other words. He burned. That's a sacrifice. His sacrifice. Therefore what? Let us, look at that word us, that means together, let us go forth to him outside the camp. Forget about this world. Go outside the camp. Suffer with him. Suffer for him. Walk towards that fire. Right? Stay on fire. Outside the camp, bearing his reproach. If we need to go to fiery trials to be separate from the world, then we have to be. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. The kingdom is coming. The house is going to be built. So don't look back. The house is being built. We don't look back. The time is now. You know that the church is out there saying, we talk about the church is out there. A couple weeks ago, they were in California. What are they preaching out there? America, the time is now. Wake up. What does it mean? The time is now to get it together. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice. What other sacrifices are there for 7 days? Offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the food of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good. Don't just believe good. Do good. And to share. How can you share if you're not together with somebody? You want to keep Sabbath alone in the house? do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. You want to please God? Sacrifice a little bit of your time, of your energy, of whatever it is, of yourself, of your life. Burn if you have to. Forgetting, never forgetting to do right and to share. Last verse here, Hebrews 10 and verse 1. Hebrews 10 and verse 1. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, that's Passover, by a new and living way. This is our way now. This is our way of life for the rest of these seven completeness of our lives. This is the unleavened bread of life that we consume, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And having a high priest over what? The house of God. You're members of the house now, right? Let us draw near with a true heart. With the true heart, when those laws were written into, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another. Be considerate to your brothers. How? In order to stir up love. That's the purpose. In order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking, listen to this part, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's the signs and seasons. As is the manner of some, but encouraging, that's exhorting, is encouraging one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. And this is the day is approaching, brethren. Okay? So let us encourage one another to live worthy of our calling, brethren, as one more beautiful reason that we're here today.